Grand Canyon University wants to be your favorite Christian college, at least until the lawsuits put them out of business. Hey, this is Church's Lame.
We can only hope.
Yeah, like I utterly hate the commercials I see for this school. I mean, I'm sure they'd be worse if I was up at like 3 a.m. Like they make all sorts of like promises like you'll be able to levitate and see through lead walls and whatever.
Oh my gosh.
Like just if you go there, it's supposed to be a Christian school. I can't comment on how truly Christian it is or isn't, if one can say truly.
Yeah, so it's supposedly the United States' largest Christian school. And I wonder what metric that's measured by. Is it just headcount or is it revenue or?
Like the article didn't exactly specify how that statement came to be. Within the last several weeks, so like they've gotten 2 lawsuits leveled against them, federal lawsuits, which is reassuring.
Well, it's interesting because usually the federal government will usually try not to get involved with matters of religion if they can help it.
Yeah, like doing anything at a Christian organization is, or any religious organization, is just fraught. Just to get through it real quick, you know, we got like 3 basic things going on. First of all, they are accused of engaging in deceptive and abusive telemarketing practices.
That's just called salesmanship.
Like deceptive and abusive. That sounds like a Christian organization that we talk about on this podcast.
Perfectly normal. Perfectly normal, Mark. Nothing to see here.
Yeah. Also, like they were like severely accused of misrepresenting the costs and requirements for their doctoral programs. And you had mentioned a specific number of people who like completed the program within costs.
You know, I don't know what the normal, like, I know that like, you know, getting a doctorate or PhD or whatever, like it's hard. It's a hard thing to do. And a lot of people crash and burn, but 2% success rate within the estimated costs, that seems pretty outside the margin to me.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. And then like this third thing, this one actually caught me off guard because the alleged crime here is that they're operating functionally as a for-profit instead of as operating as a non-profit. And 60% of its revenue supposedly is going to the parent company, Grand Canyon Education, and its shareholders. I have to be angry about that because the notes, it's in red text, people. I have to read the red text.
Put in there by yours truly.
But yeah. I thought this was a for-profit school, like this entire time. It never looked to me the way they advertised themselves as if they were ever a non-profit school.
60% of revenue goes to shareholders. How else could you classify that than a for-profit company? People who invest with the sole purpose of getting a dividend or a return on their investment is the very definition of for-profit.
The single largest cost for a college should be salaries. How are they only spending 40% on salaries and water and gas and electricity?
Benefits and
landscaping
advertising.
Benefits. I do not understand like what this is.
It's people who've learned well from the models of things like Phoenix University and DeVry University and all the other for-profit schools that have come and gone.
I went to University of Phoenix and DeVry, so it's funny you should mention those.
And I went to DeVry, so.
It's like, so we know, like, step one, if a computer's not working, is you hit it.
Did you reboot it? Have you tried turning it off and back on again? It's startling how many problems that fixes.
That's why I always loved, like, when I had to call you at work with IT stuff, because you never had to ask me, did you turn it off and on again?
Exactly right, yep. The headline speaks for itself, and I think it's going to be pretty evident and how, like, well, Scott, you know, Mark, you guys are talking about school. I thought we were supposed to be talking about churches. Christian schools are basically the feeder system into Christian employment for most, at least pastors and people and people who are in the clergy, you know. I don't want to say it's very rare, but it's pretty rare for somebody with no formal training to get a pastoral job in a mainline denomination. If you have no training at all, you're either hanging out your own shingle and saying, hey, my house is now a church, come and hang out with us. Or you're probably getting hired at some smaller non-denominational church without any sort of formal training.
Yeah, it's like, I really can't separate, you know, a Christian school from church in general. I mean, because it's like, I went to Wheaton College, right? And so it's like, you're only getting Christian kids there. And a lot of those Christian kids are going there because their parents want them to get a Christian education as opposed to going to a state school or something. You know, and of course, you know, Wheaton College has a very good reputation. I'm not saying it's completely flawless and that they've never had missteps, but you know, like when you think you're like great Christian school, you don't think Grand Canyon University.
The point just being that today's Christian students are tomorrow's Christian leaders.
This statement from the school that this just made me giggle in context of it. And just like, given the major problems that exist in higher education, it's baffling that the federal government has chosen to, you know, target us. And I'm like, A, like, what are these major problems you're talking about? I know what they are, and you know what they are, and I'm sure everybody listening to this knows what those major problems are. Yeah. But it seems to me like if you've managed to behave in such a way that you've had multiple federal cases pulled up against you in the same quarter of the year, like, you're the source of problems here.
Right. And once again, knowing that the government would, like, they would rather do anything than sue a Christian organization, you know, in today's political climate.
I think it's not too much to ask that, you know, a Christian, you know, education system should be of the highest moral character. So that doesn't happen.
You would think that piece, you would think that one piece of information right there would go without saying that moral character matters in a Christian school at every level, among the students, among the staff, among the faculty, mm-hmm. among the shareholders. You know, I don't personally have a problem with for-profit schools just for that reason. As awkward as the phrase for-profit Christian school is, it doesn't necessarily ring to me as bad just because of that. Just how this whole situation is going down, like, it's clear that money is the preeminent driving force here and not the cultivation of the next generation of Christian leaders.
The idea of a for-profit Christian school does rub me the wrong way, because if your goal is to make tomorrow's Christian leaders, like, why are you profiting from from the church? It's not like the church writ large tends to be like getting a lot of money. It's like the churches that we see that have a lot of money are ones that we always seem to end up criticizing because it's Lakewood or whatever Joel Osteen is, or it's Lakewood's some other mega church, you know.
So for me, it doesn't rub me the wrong way, assuming that you make it perfectly clear to everyone involved, we are a for-profit school. That is who we are, and that's what we're about. Therefore, caveat emptor, buyer beware.
Yeah, this whole like 60% of its, its money
That's not the sales pitch, right? The sales pitch is we are the country's largest Christian university. You will come here and have a family-friendly, wholesome, Bible-based college experience, even if your major is not ministry. You know, even if you are pursuing some sort of liberal arts degree, music, or whatever else, business, finance, whatever else, the assumption is that it'll be Bible-based and therefore conform to a certain moral character that you referred to.
I'm sure that the staff, like if you're a teacher there, that you are expected to maintain a particular moral character. Who are the people that are enforcing this moral character? Are the people that don't have any? Like, then that's just sad.
That's a problem, right?
I'm hoping that the school can straighten itself out and fly right. I want to hear your thoughts first on like what you think that could look like.
Three major problems. Deception in their sales pitch, right? Mm-hmm. Well, that was pretty easy to clean up. You've already got the largest headcount, so you already have a pretty good sales pitch, you know, without having to lie about how money is used. The 60%, the easy way out of this mess is simply to take that 60% of money, report to your shareholders. From here going forward, like, your dividends are not going to be nearly as star-spangled awesome as they've been in previous months. And instead, that money is going to go to missions around the world. It's going to get funneled back into the churches that support us and the endowments and whatever else support us. There's lots of ways to use that money other than just giving it away in dividends. Hey, we can take that 60% and we can reinvest it into the doctoral program, which is fleecing people left and right, and use it in the form of scholarships to get more people out with higher degrees, which would also be a great marketing pitch, having a higher than average graduation rate with the higher level degrees. It's a matter of using your money in the same way that you use your words, characters, morals, spiritual depth, foundational biblical principles. It's just a matter of using your money the same way you use your words, I think, is really what it comes down to.
I would just like, I'd like to add to that, a couple of things. And like the first thing is that I think, when you are a Christian school, like I don't even care if certain things are legal for you to do. If it even gives the appearance of impropriety, it ought to be avoided.
Preach, preach, preach.
Let's read what Paul wrote in, First Corinthians about like eating meat that's been sacrificed to idols. He's like, yeah, like you can do it. Idols are nothing when we know that. But like, if another believer is looking at you going, stop doing it for their sake. I think it's very important that we don't give people the opportunity to make an accusation. And I think that's going to mean in this case, some of the ideas that you spread there, it's like it's going to require like some really good restructuring. I'm not even sure of any for-profit school that operates on margins that thick. But then I think another thing is that people like you and me, just regular jerks who are going to send our kids to a school, it's like we need to turn our backs on schools that are screwing up, at least until they fix their problems and have shown that they are operating in good faith.
It's amazing how hard that is for Christians, whether they be young Christians or older Christians. There is a preoccupation in the church with not offending other people. If you say something offensive, you'll be accused of spewing venom, right? Like in Asia, right? You cannot say something offensive to somebody older than you, more senior than you. It's just not part of the culture. It is taboo. It's really an inversion of what we're taught, like to speak the truth in love, to live a life above reproach. Well, the only way to have a life above reproach is to have a life where it's all put out in the open. The truth of my life is on display for everybody to see. Mm-hmm. It's a really hard thing to turn your back on what you've always considered to be a pillar of Christian education, in this case, Grand Canyon University, because we're taught that when times get tough, your default position should not be to turn away, but to lean in. And sometimes, especially when it comes to money and people preoccupied with money, preoccupied because they think it's like, hey man, it's a free market. These people are free to spend their money wherever they want. If they want to spend it with us, so be it. And sometimes when people are preoccupied with the accumulation of money, sometimes the only way to get them back on the right path is to take that money away from them. These for-profit companies, we talked about how money is their focus and how money skews everything. And what it does on the part of the faculty and the staff and the other leaders there is it creates this whole, it's your money, it's your job to spend it well and to make the most of it.
Yeah.
And so what happens is it totally releases the faculty and the staff of stewarding the kids. Well, if you're not there to steward the kids, then what good are you? I can go anywhere and get an education on Middle East archaeology. I don't even have to go to a Christian school to take Old Testament review, New Testament review, those kind of things. I can go to any school and get that. The reason you go to a Christian school is because there's a faculty and staff that is committed to your success, committed to taking this young, excited person and teaching them the reality of ministry. Like, yes, it's exciting and it's fulfilling, but it's also hard. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's going to be heartbreaking, especially when you realize how many funerals you're going to go to in your life. That's the job of a Christian faculty and staff. The same thing happens on the student side of it. The students are like, well, it's my money, so I'm going to just go take my test, take my midterm, take my final, get my A, and it doesn't matter if I've actually absorbed any knowledge. It doesn't matter if I've actually built up a set of tools that are going to help me. All that matters is I got my A, I got my diploma, and now I'm moving on. So the students have no more stake than the faculty does, when the students should be like, this faculty and staff, they are masters of their craft. I'm going to absorb their experience, their successes, their losses, their heartbreaks for 4 years or whatever. I'm going to absorb this and take it in and make it part of my tool set. So when I come out the other end, I am insanely prepared for this crazy life that we called ministry. And none of that happens in a for-profit environment because everybody involved, students and teachers alike, have other motive. And they think that their money speaks louder than the actual process.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate reality that we have to deal with a lot of this stuff.
How do you fix it, right? What do you do to fix it? I think we talked a little bit about it earlier. just in the whole, well, A, you got to use money differently. If you're making 60% profit, either something's not getting invested well, or you're just a big money-making scheme. And I doubt they're just a big money-making scheme, right? That's probably too one-dimensional.
Yeah, I would say that's a fair assessment.
But clearly, there's a problem with the way they're spending money. And that comes from a skewed view of how they see themselves. I always think the fastest and the most pain-free route out of this is a wholesale change of leadership. It's time to say, hey, we got caught. We got caught twice with our pants down. You know, go to the doctor and, hey, doctor, it hurts when I wave my arm. And the doctor says, well, stop waving your arm. And you keep waving your arm. You know, you keep doing the same thing, you're going to get the same result. So you got to get the leaders out of there. You need to just wholesale change, at the very least, the administration to bring to bear a different set of values on the situation.
And I would say that, like, you know, they need to make sure, because if you're going to be running a Christian school, especially, you need to be treating it as a mission. And I would argue never as a business, but, you know, even if, you know, if you're going to do that for-profit thing, it needs to be first a mission. And nothing in this article has made me feel like that's what they're doing. So I'm hoping that, like, if they can replace that leadership, like you're saying, that they will come in with, like, that fresh view of, like, no, we need to rewire this thing as a mission first, a mission to the students and to the students' families, and, you know, to the faculty and to the other staff, just to, like, make this a place that people will want to be, and a place where people will encounter Jesus in the day-to-day.
There's nothing wrong with having the best business minds on your staff. You want people, you want great minds on your staff. There's not a single problem with that, with the people who know how to take a dollar and multiply it to $5. Not a problem at all. But these are not the visionaries you want leading you. These are the people you want informing you, helping you see the big picture, so that you can make those missional decisions. You can make those educational decisions. You can make those kingdom decisions. And yeah, the money people will give you good information to help you on your path. The minute you give them the keys to the car is the minute it all falls apart. And it's starting to sound like Grand Canyon. It's mostly business majors and finance majors that are calling most of the shots over there.
Like, if you've known enough pastors in your life, you kind of figure that very few pastors are ever good at being pastors and good at money stuff. And I don't mean like home finances. I mean, like, most pastors couldn't run a business no matter how hard they tried.
Big budget. Big church budget.
They're different skill sets. That's something I appreciate greatly, that, like, you brought that out. You know, it's like have your people that have this skill set and other people have this skill set, and let them work together.
One body, many parts. You know, the Bible's pretty clear on that. Everybody can't do anything, and that you're crazy for trying. You know, so surround yourself with good people, with great advisors. There's all sorts of lessons in the Bible about the wisdom of being a good listener and learning from those around you. So by all means, if you are on staff at Grand Canyon, I hope you're listening. And I hope that there are people there who aren't just going to try to figure out how to survive these lawsuits with the minimum amount of expense. Who do we have to lay off in order so I can still get my Christmas bonus? That instead they learn the real lesson from this, that there's a better way for a Christian school to operate.
Yeah, I think I would hope that the staff can be invested enough in that place that they can be a positive force for driving good change as well.
So we're Church is Lame, and you may have listened to this episode and thought to yourself, man, Mark and Scott, they really just have it out for the church and for Christian institutions. And I just want you to know that nothing can be further from the truth. Mark is a graduate of a Christian institution. He works professionally for a Christian institution. We love the church and we want to see it succeed. We just think that stories like this make it all too clear why the church is losing its relevance in the modern day. And we use this channel, this podcast, this YouTube show to make a repository of these reasons, so that when church leaders kind of ask the question, why is everybody walking away? Well, here you go. You're welcome. And by the way, let me mention real quick that the podcast and YouTube have never been doing better. We just crossed 5,000 subscribers on YouTube. The podcast is firing on multiple cylinders. I don't know how many you need to fire on, 4, 6, or 8, or 12. You know,
seven.
But now that we're going to electric cars, there's no such thing as cylinders anymore. Now it's battery cells, you know, so maybe we're firing on 2,000 battery cells. I don't know.
This is getting complicated, man.
It's getting weird. All that to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you to everybody who watches, everybody who listens, everybody who leaves a rating, everybody who leaves a review, everybody who leaves a comment, Everybody who emails us at churcheslanepodcast@gmail.com, thank you all for participating. We appreciate you so, so much.
Party on, Wayne.
Party on, Garth. A bonus to you in the comment land if you know what movie that's from.
And with that, go in peace and serve the Lord. Amen.